Just a quick disclaimer, this is not medical advice. This is meant for education only. Hey, what's up, peeps? Let's talk about your skin's microbiome. Let's start with some definitions. Your microbiome refers to the sum total of microorganisms, which includes bacteria, fungi like yeasts, and viruses that live in and on you. When we talk about your skin's microbiome, we're specifically talking about the microbiomes that live on your skin. That makes sense. Your skin's microbiome is a rich ecosystem that supports diverse populations of microorganisms. Changes with your skin can lead to changes with your microbiome. And here's what's important, it's a bi-directional relationship, meaning changes with your skin's microbiome also lead to changes with your skin and its health. A healthy, diverse microbiome supports healthy skin, whereas an unhealthy microbiome can wreak havoc on your skin. Here's a cool thing to think about. Your skin has three major habitats, and these habitats determine what kind of microorganisms live there. The three major habitats are moist skin, sebaceous skin, and dry skin. Moist skin includes sites like your toe webs, your armpits, and other skin folds like your leg fold. The skin in these locations is in contact with itself, which creates humid conditions. Sebaceous skin refers to skin that has oil-secreting glands, also known as sebaceous glands. That makes sense, right? And it includes sites like your face, your chest, the middle of your back, and your groin. Dry skin sites would include areas like your arms, your legs, and parts of your body like your lower back. Each of these skin habitats favors growth of different microorganism species. For example, sebaceous skin, like on your face, favors the growth of bacteria like Cutibacterium and Staphylococcus, and also Malassezia, which is a yeast. These microorganisms like oil and anaerobic, meaning absence of oxygen conditions, and therefore they thrive in these skin sites. Dry skin also favors the growth of Cutibacterium and Staphylococcus species, but there are also other species like Actinobacteria, Firmicutes, and Neisseria. Moist skin favors the growth of Carinibacteria, a type of gram-positive aerobic bacterium. Okay, now that we've established some terminology, let's talk about why you should care about this. So I already mentioned that your skin's microbiome influences your skin's health. It's particularly important for your skin's immune system. A healthy skin microbiome prevents the growth of bad bacteria on your skin, which would otherwise lead to diseases like cellulitis and other types of infections, but also inflammatory conditions like eczema. As just one example, it's been shown that certain healthy strains of bacteria on your skin, like Staphylococcus epidermidis, enhance your skin's innate barrier and its immunity and activate T cells to protect your skin from infections. You heard that correctly. The bacteria that live on your skin can literally activate your immune system to fight off infections. So it really matters which bacteria live on your skin. Let's take a look at some disease states and your microbiome. Let's start with acne. Come on, you know this is relevant to you. We've all had acne as teenagers, and maybe you still live with acne as an adult. Well, the microbiome in acne-prone skin is one of the most studied microbiomes that we're aware of. The bacterium you may have heard of with regard to acne is called Cutibacterium acnes. It used to be called Propionibacterium, but they recently changed it to Cutibacterium. Not quite sure why, but it did happen recently. I think Cutibacterium is aptly named because cutis refers to your skin, and Cutibacterium is one of the most prevalent bacteria that live on your skin. So, back to acne. In acne, we have overgrowth of Cutibacterium acnes, which loves oil-rich skin sites, again, those sebaceous sites, and that's why we get acne on our face, our chest, and our upper back, because we have a lot of oil glands in those sites. There are subgroups of Cutibacterium acnes that make different lipases, which are enzymes that digest oils, as well as carbohydrate transporters that can lead to the virulent overgrowth of Cutibacterium acnes. These bacteria and their unique properties lead to zits and pimples because of how they interact with oil-prone skin and the pilosebaceous unit, otherwise known as your pores. Malassezia, the yeast we briefly talked about earlier, can also contribute to a type of acne known as Malassezia folliculitis. When you take medication for acne, your skin's microbiome will change and adjust in a way that reduces the counts of these pathogenic or disease-causing bacteria, which translates to healthier-looking, acne-free skin. So that's one way to change your skin's microbiome is to use medications. What about eczema and your skin's microbiome? This has also been studied in depth. People with eczema have genetic defects that lead to physical disruption in their skin barrier, along with some defects in their immune function, and as a result, they get overgrowth of Staphylococcus aureus, which is a disease-causing bacterium. Once Staph aureus overgrows, they get more inflammation, the rash worsens, and more Staph aureus grows. It's like a self-perpetuating vicious cycle. On top of that, with so much growth of Staph aureus, the microbiotic diversity of eczema sufferer's skin, it plummets. In other words, they lose that variety of their microbiome, including those helpful health-promoting bacteria like Staph epidermidis and Staph hominis, which die off. And normally these helpful bacteria will work to kill off harmful Staph aureus and outcompete them for living space on your skin, which in turn controls inflammation. But in eczema skin, this balance is disrupted and it's lost. Here's some even more interesting information. Not only have researchers found loss of microbial diversity on the skin of eczema sufferers, they've also found a loss of diversity in their gut microbiome. Eczema sufferers also have Staph aureus in their gut, as detected from poop samples, which is really unusual because Staph aureus in general doesn't love your gut. Gut health promoting bacteria like Bifidobacterium are also reduced in people with eczema. So clearly there is a link between the gut and skin microbiomes, which are very different in terms of their microbial makeup. In people with eczema, treating the underlying eczema using things like topical steroids and even antibiotics can restore the microbial diversity seen in normal, healthy skin. Bleach baths can also restore skin microbial diversity. It does so by killing off some Staph aureus, allowing Staph epidermidis and hominis to repopulate, and again, to control the overgrowth of Staph aureus in your skin. And lastly, I find this pretty fascinating. Using a moisturizer, even one that's simple and plain, even without probiotics, can restore your skin's microbial diversity and lead to eczema remission. This has to do with the fact that when you use moisturizers, you're strengthening your skin's barrier, which leads to restoration of your skin's normal immunity, which in turn helps promote healthy bacterial growth. Yes, you heard that correctly. The simple act of using a plain moisturizer can restore your skin's microbiome diversity. I really hope that you can see that there's a delicate balance act that's happening between all the bugs on your skin. Okay, I want to talk about one last disease state and your microbiome because we're getting a little lengthy in terms of this episode's time. Rosacea. Oh yes, that lovely red face of rosacea. If you have it, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to make light of it. Honestly, it's a horrible condition that's very vexing for a dermatologist to treat, especially if you have redness. That kind's the hardest to treat, if you ask me. If you don't know about rosacea, let me give you a brief overview. Rosacea presents with redness, pimples, and flushing on your face. You can also get enlargement of your nose and ears, and this happens during middle life. We're talking way past your teenage years. So the microbiome in people with rosacea shows overgrowth of a mite called Demodex folliculorum. Remember, the microbiome is all of the microorganisms on your skin, including microscopic mites, not just bacteria and yeast. Well, everyone has these mites on their skin. It's a part of your normal skin's microbiome. But in people with rosacea, there's excessive numbers of these mites, and these mites also piggyback a bacterium called Bacillus oleronius, which scientists believe play a role in causing rosacea and inflammation in your skin. Medical treatments for rosacea are largely antimicrobials like antibiotics and antiparasitics, even like ivermectin. That's because they restore the disrupted skin microbiome. It's pretty interesting, right? People with rosacea also have overgrowth of Helicobacter pylori in their stomachs, again, highlighting a connection between the skin and the gut, and how microbes may connect the two. Treatment of H. pylori can lead to remission of rosacea in certain rosacea sufferers. There's a lot of other skin conditions that have shown to have alterations in the skin's microbiome, including psoriasis, hidradenitis suppurativa, and even the common condition seborrheic dermatitis. We won't get into these in this episode, but stay tuned for a future one. I want to conclude with one last thought here. After listening to all this, you have to be wondering, so how do I get my skin microbiome healthier and more diverse? Great question. Yes, you've understood correctly that low microbial diversity often leads to disease in your skin. So increasing diversity is a really important part of having a healthy skin microbiome. Okay, you're paying attention. Well, medical treatments can lead to microbiome balance. Like you've already learned about, topical steroids and other anti-inflammatories, even antibiotics, as long as they lead to microbiome balance. You can also use a moisturizer like you already learned. Yes, this is a big plug for our moisturizing lotion here. Just kidding, but seriously, buy that ish. Okay, lastly, you can take a probiotic and you can take prebiotics. Probiotics are the active live microorganisms that you ingest, and they have health-promoting benefits not only for your skin, but also for your gut and overall health. Prebiotics are oligosaccharides that the bugs in your gut will eat. What the hell is an oligosaccharide? It's fiber, dude. Eat a lot of fiber, not just supplements. Eat good old-fashioned foods like vegetables, greens, and fruits. These are fiberful, and they will make your gut microbiome happy. There are ongoing studies looking at pre- and probiotic topical medicines, meaning a cream you'd put on that has probiotics or prebiotics. But the data is still in the works, and we don't have as strong of data for those therapies as we do for changing your gut microbiome. Stay tuned for more on that in the future, because I'm sure those studies will be published and will be of great interest to me. All right, thanks for listening this long. Talk to you soon. Peace.